just acknowledge you. Thank you for your presence this morning, that you have condescend to be with us, for which we are so grateful and thankful, Lord. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you anoint these lips of clay, that, Lord, the words that I speak will not be words of man, which will just add to knowledge that will puff up, but that, Lord, there will be words, your word, that is spirit and life to us. Lord, we receive it. We open our hearts this morning, and we pray, Lord, for a download from you, spirit of life, quicken our spirit, and open our ears this morning, that we will be able to receive from you the words that you have for us this morning, in your mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just begin by saying it's okay. I'm just as surprised as you that I'm standing here sharing the word of God. Bear with me, all right? Now, a couple of weeks ago, just over a month ago, I think, I was informed that pastors would like me to share, and so it was like, oh Lord, help me! But anyway, so from that point on, I have been deliberating and thinking and pondering and what can I share and all that, and all the ideas that I had just didn't materialize, didn't gel, and it's a very uncomfortable position, if you know what I mean. You know, you've got a deadline and nothing seems to be happening. So I was I think it was about a couple of weeks back, I was ushering and I was standing at the back and I said, Lord, what can I say? What can I, you know, what's the message? And boom! He just came to me. Thank God. And the word is the title of the message that I'm sharing today. And then the outline all start coming. It was just amazing, you know. It just came quick and fast. So I went back and I worked on the message for this morning. So I believe that this is the word that we need and to hear. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, the message I have is already out. Heart condition. All right. Now, I know there are a few medical people in our midst, so bear with me. If I'm not correct, please correct me. Okay, heart condition. Okay, a strong and healthy heart is the foundation of a healthy and healthy life full of vitality and zest. That's a given, right? We need a healthy heart. And so, our quality of life is dependent on a healthy heart for our physical life. So as a result, great care and attention must constantly be paid to the condition of our heart all through our life. So you will find that because of that, the heart is the core of a healthy life. From the very onset of life, the doctors, after they hit the baby and make the baby cry, they will be listening to their heartbeat, okay, and checking the heart just to make sure that it is in good, it's a good heart, healthy heart. And you'll find that this is all through life. When we are sick, they will take your blood pressure, they will hear the heartbeat. When you go for your annual or routine medical checkup, they will do the same. They will listen to your heart and all that. And I'm finding now that as I get older, the frequency of checkups increases. You need to check yourself, right? And there are reasons behind that, obviously. And this is so that they can monitor your heart and to ensure that everything is in order. Now, what are the reasons for my son is behind me? I mean, way behind. Okay, so checkups, not so fast now. So reasons for checkup, what are the reasons for checkup? All right, prevention. Next one. Okay, reasons for checkup. What are the reasons? Prevention is better than cure. Okay? And so the reason we have checkups is so that they can detect early if there's any problem. And the earlier you detect, the easier it is to treat and also to prevent further damage to whatever the problem may be. Alright? So that is one of the premise for having checkups. The next reason is that you do it for your well-being and for your family. Okay? And that's obvious, because if anything happens to you, who is going to take care of your family? Who will provide for your family? Who will lead or guide your family? So things like that. Alright? So it's not only for our own self, but also for our family. Alright? So I found this out, obviously, when I became a father. And then all these things start to dawn on me. Hey, look, you know, you've got to added responsibility of taking care of your health, because it not only impacts you and your wife, but also if you have kids and so on. All right, so it pays. Now, health is central to life and the quality of life. So people say health is wealth, and that's true. Health is wealth. And it pays to take good care of your heart and your general health. And there is this saying that says, too many people spend their health to gain wealth and end up spending their wealth to regain health. Yeah. So that is the reason why you need to take care of your health right through and balance things so that you don't end up, okay? And it's hard to regain health, by the way. Alright, so take care of your health. You only have your health with you one time. Okay? So, next slide, please. Right, so what do they do when you go for a routine checkup? This is not a medical seminar, by the way. Routine checkup of your heart. They look at your blood pressure, gauge your healthy range should be there, and they listen to your heartbeat to ensure the rhythm is normal. And whenever you get abnormal readings, they need to be monitored and they need to be investigated further for whatever is the cause. Now, what are some of the problems of the heart? Problems of the heart, you have high blood pressure, otherwise known as hypertension, which is a silent killer. It kills you silently, by the way. So you need to pay attention when you have high blood pressure. Alright? Otherwise, you have more complicated problems, like angina, which is a pain that starts in the chest and slowly spreads to your arm and your neck and everything, because of lack of blood supply to the heart as a result of whatever the cause is, which is usually cholesterol related, I suppose. Alright? And then end up with heart attack and all sorts. So common causes are hereditary, rich diet. So it's good to eat nice food, but not in excess. Alright? or atherosclerosis, which is a high cholesterol leading to build up a plaque in the blood vessel, and that's why you have all these problems. Lack of physical activity and exercise. So take a walk every day. Walk around the park, breathe in the fresh air, listen to the birds, look at the sunset, say a word of prayer. Okay? And it's good for you. Okay? And helps to relieve the stress, which is also another cause. And of course, the other main contributor is substance consumption, alcohol, cigarette, drugs, and excessive prescribed medicines. Okay? So, and the other main problem is what they call irregular heartbeat. Alright, otherwise known as arrhythmias. Okay? And more serious is atrial fibrillation. And these are a result of, most of it is because of heart disease, congenital heart defect, and damage to your electrical system in the body. Okay, that causes irregular heartbeat. So all I'm saying is, look after yourself, look after your heart. All right, because many of these heart conditions are preventable. All right, and a little care and simple steps taken now, you can actually go a long way towards reducing and mitigating the risk of heart problems. All right. Excellent. Now, just as we look after our physical well-being, we must also look after our spiritual well-being. All right. There is that flip side of it, and we have to start with our spiritual heart. Okay. We need to take care of it as well, not just our physical heart. Now, the reason is, of course, the Bible does talk of many types of spiritual heart conditions. So as a result, we need to pay also attention to throughout our life. We need to pay attention to it. And the reasons why we do that is because, just like physical checkup, apply in terms of prevention is better than cure. You do it for yourself, for your family. It also applies to the spiritual dimension, the spiritual application. All right. So when we do that, prevention is better than cure. Awareness and checkups will help to prevent negative conditions from arising. Okay? We need to check ourselves. Alright? And when we detect it early, prevention is less costly, less damaging to us, spiritually speaking. Okay? So we do it for that reason. The second is we are doing it for our own spiritual well-being and for our spiritual family. There are people under your care and your responsibility. So it is important that especially for spiritual leaders, that they do spiritual heart checkups. Okay? Because your ill health will impact both you and your spiritual family. Okay? The spiritual flock under you, if you something untoward happened to you, it will end up scattered and open season for the devil, so to speak. All right. So we have that added obligation to take responsibility and do self checkup to ensure that our heart is in the right place. Okay, we must be watchful over our spiritual heart condition. Are you with me, Daniel? Okay, very good. Thank you. Alright, now, I want to talk especially about three spiritual heart conditions. Okay? And these three really require our close attention. Alright? The first one I want to talk about is proud heart, or haughty, or lifted up. And why do I know that this particular condition needs close attention? And the reason is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 to 15. And it concerns the archangel Lucifer. Okay? And if you know the story of archangel Lucifer, he was God's created being, but he is a leader of a host of angels, close to God, and yet, because of pride, okay, he fell. Alright? So that is an instructive to us, okay? That we need to pay attention. He had five high wills, if you read from Isaiah chapter 14, 12, 15, the five high wills, he said, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also on the mount of the congregation, I will ascend the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. There is nothing more proud than that. Okay? And as a result of pride, he fell. Okay? So, what does that tell us? From this example, it tells us leaders need to pay special attention to this, the tendency of pride. Okay, we need to be careful with it. Alright? Now, the second condition that I want to talk about is hardened hearts, okay, or obstinate, rebellious, stony hearts. Why is that we need to pay attention to this? We need to pay attention to this because of the example in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. And this individual is none other than Cain. Alright? Now, consider Cain. Who is Cain? Cain is the firstborn child of Adam and Eve. Alright? Firstborn child. So Adam and Eve was created perfect before they fell. Okay? So they conceived, had a child, and the firstborn was Cain. So if you have been a parent before, right? You know that when you had your first child, and this is the first ever recorded since creation, there would have been so much excitement, so much joy, right? So if you put yourself in Adam and Eve's shoes, I can tell you, for starters, that Cain must be the most spoiled child ever recorded. If ever there was a spoiled child. Am I correct? So much love, so much care, everything that they had, I think they were just spoiled the child. Do you think that will happen? Based on my experience, I think the likelihood is there. Okay, so much attention, every single movement. Yeah, so I think Cain must have had all the parents' approval and attention undivided. Don't you think so? But sadly for Cain, I think he got so used to all that approval from the parents that one day when God came to him and rebuked and warned him about him, his condition, what did he do? Instead of responding correctly, he hardened his heart. He reacted with anger, jealousy, and he ended up killing his brother. Alright? So we need to pay attention to hardened hearts. Okay? This condition. Serious condition. Because the Bible warns us seriously about this particular condition. Alright? And lastly, I'm going to talk about troubled hearts. Okay? Troubled heart. Why? Because of John 14. Alright? And Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. And they had troubled hearts. And there are reasons for why they had troubled hearts. So these three conditions we need to watch out for, and we need to pay attention to it. Alright? And the lesson here is that from these three examples in the Bible, we can deduce that every one of us is at risk. There is no exception. Okay? We are and can be liable to these conditions building within our hearts. And we need and as a result, we need to pay attention to it, and we need to deal with it. Deal with the problem when you become aware of it. Don't let it fester. Okay? Don't let it fester slowly, because the consequences are indeed serious. So let us look at each condition and see how we can deal with it. Okay, so the first unhealthy spiritual heart condition is a proud heart. And the example that I want to talk about is the life of King Uzziah of Judah, otherwise known as Azariah. And this is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse, the whole chapter basically. But now, the story of King Uzziah is quite a tragic story, okay? And I don't know whether we have time to read the whole Bible, I mean the whole chapter. But I want to pick a few verses, okay? So let's turn to chapter 26, 2 Chronicles. So it says in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Okay? So he started out really good. Okay? And then because God made him to prosper, and he goes on from verse 6 onward, it says he went and conquered all his enemies and everything. He built towers in Jerusalem, fortified cities, he cultivated the land, alright? He built armies, organized them very well. So for 52 years, Judah really, really prospered and did very well. Okay? Did very well. And this man, Uzziah, apparently he was a very capable, because he looked to God. He was a very capable person, and he is also known as a great inventor. Okay, and one of the things that he invented is if you watch those old movies. Alright, or stories where you talk about those catapults, that is sling catapult with huge stone to smash at fortified cities. This man was the one who came up with that one. Okay? So he was really, really something, huh? Okay? He was so something that his fame spread, and then in verse 16, it goes on to say, and I read. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest, not the king, Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they mistook King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." So what was Uzziah's response? That Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Okay? So, from this episode, we can note a few things. The symptoms or the signs of a proud heart. Okay? First one, if you want to test yourself whether you have a proud heart, look for signs like this. Lacks respect, okay, for protocol, in this case, the temple worship, okay, it is established in the Jewish custom that only the priest can enter into the temple to burn incense and all that. Okay? So he lacked respect for that, i.e., that is to say, he had an attitude of what? I can do whatever I want. I'm the boss. Okay? I'm the boss. I have the right to do what I want to do. Okay? That's the first sign of a proud heart. The second one is that he doesn't admit mistake and he will not be corrected. Okay? So when a priest came to him and says, No, you can't do this. What did he do? He just went ahead and do whatever he did. Alright? And the third reason is he was quick to anger. Alright? His attitude was, "I have the authority and every right. How dare you stop me? How dare you? Huh? I'm the king. I have the right. I have the authority." It's a sign of a proud heart. Okay, so that's really instructive. And the cause of that is, the cause of a proud heart is, first one, thank you Daniel, human inclination for self-exaltation, especially in times of success, fame, and power. Alright? And we can see the Lord warned us actually through Moses in Deuteronomy 8:14-17. It was talking about when you go into the promised land and you prosper and all that. Okay? And it says when your heart, Deuteronomy 8:14-18, it says when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, then you will say in your heart, "My power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth," right? Or gained me this fame, or gained me this power, right? So there is that tendency for success to get to our head and for our heart to be lifted up and become proud. And when we do that, we forget God. Okay? We forget God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who is the final judge. We think we are the judge now. Okay? No more God. We think we are the judge. Okay? So then we trust in self, next point, rather than God. Now, in the story that we just read, there are two parts that we need to small little words, but we need to pay attention. It says in verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And then verse 15 says, marvelously helped till he was strong. Okay? So he sought God, and then when he became strong, the word till is very, very instructive. Okay? Till he became strong, he stopped. Okay? So he started to trust in himself rather than in God. Alright? So we need to watch out, because we've been warned in the verse before that I shared in that I talked about in Deuteronomy. Okay, and the next cause is that when success gets to our head, or faith gets to our head, then we start to want to show off the success, the fame, all right? And we can see that in the example here. There is a lot of acclamation, all the invention, all the things that he did. Fame came, okay? And then he started to have armies and fortified cities and all these displays. Very, very careful, okay? Very, very careful. So his actions, and again, the last one, can you see? I'm trying to squeeze so many things into one slide. Okay, his actions in the temple suggest a very independent spirit and wanting to take over some authority that he was not given. Usurp the priestly function. Okay? So, and the consequence, the next slide please. The consequence of his action is that God judged him and he was shamed after stricken with leprosy on the forehead. Okay? Stricken for not listening and changing his way, but continuing to be angry. Now, when he entered into the temple, the priest actually, Azariah told him no. And the priest actually, there were 80 of them, they actually physically kind of stopped him. Okay? But he just barged in with his censer. Okay? And firstly, when he was reproved, he was angry. But he continued to be angry. In that verse 19, twice he was angry. The word anger, wrath, was mentioned twice in one verse. So this man really was, sadly for him, all right, he paid a heavy price. Okay? And when he was still angry, God struck him with leprosy. Where? On the forehead. On your hands, you can hide it. On your forehead, there's no hiding. it's no more humbling than that, huh? And the next point is that as a result of his leprosy, he was cast out from the temple, cut off, and also from his people, from his he can't live in the palace anymore. He has to live in a separate place, because he has to go around actually warning people, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. So 1 year after, within a year, he died. And the sad thing is that this was a man who ruled for 52 years. And he was a good ruler. And the nation of Judah prospered and did very well. But he had a sad end. A sad end, because not only did he not end well, but the legacy that he left behind, okay? The legacy that he left behind was, you can read in verse 23, it says, Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in a field of burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. what a terrible thing to be known. All your legacy, all the good things that you've done. And at the end of 52 years, all they remember you was, he is a leper. Sad, isn't it? Okay? Because of a proud heart. So what is the remedy? The remedy we can learn from the example of the restoration of King Nebuchadnezzar, okay, found in Daniel chapter 4. First thing we need to do is to repent from proud heart by crying out to God for mercy and humble acknowledgement of Almighty God. It says in verse 34 of Daniel chapter 4 that Nebuchadnezzar, when he regained some sanity, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and blessed and praised God, the Most High God. Okay, so acknowledge God, humble yourself and acknowledge God, and honor God by giving glory to whom glory is due. Okay? Amen. So that is a proud heart. The next condition is hardened hearts. Okay, hardened hearts. The symptoms of a hardened, rebellious, stony heart is unresponsive to the voice of God, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or to his messenger. Okay? And we have many examples in the Bible. First one is the children of Israel, Cain, we talk about, the Jews, and Pharaoh to Moses. Alright? And so pay attention to this condition by checking ourselves. Okay? Am I responsive to the voice of God? The prompting of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Don't keep pushing it away. Okay? The causes of a hardened heart. What caused hardened hearts? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 concerning the children of Israel. In verse 10, he says, these people, maybe we should read it, it's a few verses. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and reading from verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, verse 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Okay. I will stop there. Verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, from here, the cause of hardened heart is to go astray in the heart through deception and seduction. So what is so deceptive and seductive? Sin is seductively deceitful. We can be hardened, the Bible says, through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay? So how do you get hardened hearts? If you meddle with sin, play around with it, okay? in time, the sin will cause our hearts to be hardened. Okay? And he says also that over there, talks about not knowing my ways. They have not known my ways. So what does that mean? Not knowing God's ways. See, our God, the Bible tells us that our God is near those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise. Okay? They did not know how to come back to God. Alright? Jesus said, you confess your sin. The word of God said, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to, whenever we fall, we need to come back. Don't let sin fester. It will harden our hearts. Because sin is deceptive. Deceitfulness of sin will cause our hearts to be hardened. Then we will not know how to come back. It will. In verse 12 says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. There is a natural progression. Deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart. Your hardened heart will end up with unbelief in your evil heart. And then you will end up departing from God. Okay? There is a progression. So we want to stop it before it progress along. Okay? Praise God, huh? Hallelujah. By the word of God. Instruct us. So the consequences of hardened hearts is firstly, we grieve God. We grieve God and we will face God's wrath. It tells us in Romans 2 verse 5, with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of the righteous judgment of God. So, come quickly when you need to deal with it. And he says, God said, I swore that they will not enter my rest. And truly, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God, and we don't want that. So, respond quickly when God is dealing with our hearts. So the remedy for a hardened heart is found in Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 18 to 20, where it says, first one, remove the sin. Take away all its detestable thing and abomination. Repentance. Take it away. Come to Jesus. Confess. Okay? And then, when we do that, we get recreation. God will put a new spirit in us. Then I will, when we remove the detestable things and the abomination, God say that I will put a new spirit within that person, and transformation. He will take out our heart of stone, hardened hearts, and give us a heart of flesh. Amen. Praise God. And then there will be sanctification. We will walk according to his statutes, keep his judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Alright, let's look at the last condition that we need to pay attention, and that is troubled hearts or discouraged hearts or fearful hearts. The symptoms of troubled heart is discouragement and confusion. Okay? Discouragement and confusion. Alright? Signs of discouragement and confusion: bickering, argument, divisions. Alright? It's a sign of a troubled heart at play. Okay? There's a lot of bickering and arguments. Alright? It's a sign of lack of faith. So the causes are misplaced expectations and wrong focus. And the disciples of Jesus were troubled in their hearts. When Jesus in the few chapters in John was talking about how he was going to go away, all right, and they cannot come, basically that he was going to the cross. Now, that really troubled them. Because why? The disciples, all this while, they thought that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming to earth to build his kingdom on earth, deliver them from the Romans. Alright? So, that was misplaced focus, misplaced expectation. Okay? Jesus was actually building a different kingdom, but they didn't understand that. So when he suddenly said that I was going to go away and going to come to Israel, oh no, all these years we've been you, Lord, what's going to happen? Huh? Right? And prior to that, they were even discussing about who is the greatest, who is going to be the greatest in this kingdom that they were thinking of. Huh? So now all that is crumbling down. And so they had a hard time, troubled times for them. And worst of all, Jesus said that one of you was going to betray me. Huh? So there was a lot of confusion going on in their minds. And it's a demonstration of a lack of faith, because Jesus told them, you believe in God, believe in me. So obviously he perceived in them that there was a lack of faith. And we need to be mindful not to limit God by putting him in our own mental box. We have our natural thinking, right? That we sometimes put God in our in a mental box, the size of which we build ourselves. Huh? And he says in Psalms 50, you thought that I, which is God, was altogether like you. We must not do that. Huh? God is Almighty. We are His created being. So we need to be always mindful of that, so that our hearts will not become troubled, but we must learn to trust in His sovereignty, in His power, in His ability, in His wisdom, okay? In His will and His purposes. The consequences of troubled hearts is discouragement, and this is shown in sad disposition and countenance. Sad disposition and countenance, and the result is you just wallow in that, the tendency to blame people, or because they never do this and that, okay. And throw our hands up and give up. Or worse, lashed out. And this found in 1 Samuel that I think has been shared with me before. It's about the story about David and his men, and how when they were out from this city called Ziklag, the Amorites came and kidnapped all their family members, their wives and children. Okay? And so they were all, when they came back and found out what happened, they were so distressed. They were so troubled. And what did they say? The Bible tells us that they were talking about stoning David, their leader. Huh? They were blaming him and say, we were going to kill him, stone him. And that's what happens. Sometimes when you get so troubled in your heart, you lashed out at your leaders, you lashed out at everybody, but ourselves. Okay. Now, what's the remedy? Jesus tells us what is the remedy. The remedy is believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in God? In John 14:1. Okay? Believe in God. And how can we believe in God when we're in so much trouble? We do what David did. Bible tells us he encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 36. How do we encourage ourselves? I think it was shared before. But basically, we must always remember where we came from. Remember what God has done. All these mighty acts, we must never forget in our lives. Testimonies, right, are a part of it. We remember and encourage ourselves. Build ourselves, our faith. Build it up. Okay? And when we have, when we believe that God, He is in control, He is almighty, He sits on the throne, alright? Then we tell ourselves, we bring our problem to Him. We bring whatever that is troubling us, in our families, in whatever, we bring it to Him. We inquire of the Lord. Ask for guidance in the matter that is troubling you. Commit it to Him. Okay? Committed to Him. Amen. And lastly, talk to your pastor. Talk to their pastor. Because in 1 Samuel, actually David did that. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7, he actually called the priest. Okay? Called the priest. So talk to your pastor. Share with them. Alright? Pray along with them. Let them pray over you. Amen. Okay? So, for troubled hearts, I'm taking a lot longer. Sorry, I will just wrap up. I'm almost done. So, heart conditions. What is the conclusion? Heart condition can afflict anyone. No one is exempted. None of us is exempted. If the disciples can be handpicked by Jesus, if the first born child of Adam and Eve, or the couple that was created, they may have fallen, but there was still quite a bit of perfection in them, if you know what I mean, can fall. If a leader like Lucifer can fall, who was close to God, we are not exempted. Watch out for these spiritual conditions. Proud heart, hardened hearts, troubled hearts. And deal with it urgently when you become aware of it. Don't let it fester. Because when you do so, we are ceding ground to the devil, who will build strongholds in our lives. And strongholds, once formed, are much harder to deal with. Much more troubling. Okay? So deal with it early, and then the devil won't have strongholds over our lives. But we thank God, God has given us weapons of warfare for pulling down strongholds. If there should be strongholds in our life. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, strongholds are philosophies, ideas, mental thoughts, okay, that we have formed in our heads that are contrary to the word of God. Alright? God has given us those weapons of our warfare. They are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought, every imagination that hold us captive. Pull them down in Jesus' name. And then we put on the armor of God that God has given to us, and pray. And as part of the armor of God that He's given us, we have been going through that sessions. There is that offensive weapon that God has given us. What is that offensive weapon? Sword of the Spirit. Word of God is our offensive weapon. Okay? We can will it, and smash down all the works of the evil, the one, the scheme, the devices of the enemy. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Let us will the Word of God, God's declared truth. It is written, all that God has declared, His the Word of truth, all that is written to destroy the devil's schemes and devices, which are based on lies and deception. Okay? And half-truth. Actually, a lot of half-truth from the devil, which is actually deception. Okay? So we've got to pay attention to what God's word tells us, the truth of God, the Rhema word of God. When He give it to us, let us hold on to it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the final slide. A healthy heart. A healthy spiritual heart. For a healthy and abundant life, spiritual life, full of love, joy, and the peace of God. Amen. Praise God.